And I want to continue to share out of Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And also of how the elders gained a great testimony, a great report. And that God can create things out of nothing, out of void, and call them into something. Something beautiful, something right. If you have a Bible, you can turn over to this scripture in Romans in chapter 4 and verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, referring to Abraham, in the presence of him who he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. If you wanted to reflect back into the book of Ezekiel, you don't have to turn there. Can these bones live? Ezekiel said, thou knowest. Amen. He gave life to the bones in a graveyard. Raised an army out of what was dead. So today I want you to realize in your life that no matter what's going on with your life right now, this very moment of time, God can raise you up. God can make it happen. And He will make it happen if you just believe. He really will. It's an amazing thing that how the ability of faith comes into our life and it begins to move. There's a testimony that accompanies faith. Faith's testimonies measure the provisions and the miraculous of God. When you have great miracles happening in your life and you have a great testimony of what God has done for you, it measures that faith that you have for God and what He'll do. I see a lot of Christians today, and I want to refer to Christians because that's who we are, who simply have lost faith. They're existing Christians. They have lost faith in what God can really do, how He can heal them and provide for them and strengthen them. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. I'm going to refer just in a few minutes over there to Genesis in chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. But there's a great verse there towards the end of that particular section that I just mentioned. It says, where the mount of God is, there is provision. Where the mount of God is, there is provision. So in other words, when you're in God's presence, you come to the mountain of God. You come into the throne room of grace. You come into God's presence. There's provision. He named that location there, Mount Moriah, my God shall provide. He will provide. He'll always provide for you and He'll always be there for you. And we have to take hold of that. And understand the stories of faith which literally continue to increase the faith of the hearers. When I hear somebody being blessed, I get greater faith. I'm thankful that somebody else has got blessed. You know, I've seen people tell testimonies and other people get upset, jealous, bummed out. I've seen people walk out of church because somebody else got blessed and they didn't. That tells you where they live. They live in the house called I wish I had it. Wish it would have been me. Sorry they got it. They live on some sort of a street sign saying jealousy. You know what we should be rejoicing when others get blessed, because it strengthens us. It strengthens us to see others get healed. If you're diseased or going through a very difficult time physically, and you see somebody else get healed, it strengthens your faith that you can be healed. You can be strengthened. And God can touch you and do the miraculous through you. I remember praying a prayer, just a small, simple prayer, sitting outside a high school back in Illinois when a man called me and he said his wife's about to go into surgery. And she's got a blood clot at the base of her brain. And the doctors did not give her a great chance to live because this particular operation has a very small percentage of success. And we prayed a prayer that God would reach across the heavens, take His finger and touch that vein and break up that blockage and make it sand and disappear. That afternoon, we got a phone call again stating that when the surgeons went in and did the x-ray right before they cut, they couldn't find anything. It was gone. That made my faith grow. It wasn't me. I was honored to say a prayer, but it was a marvelous thing to know that what God can do. They went on to be on 700 Club and tell the story about this. And, you know, I was so thankful for that story that they gave. And they only mentioned the Lord's name because I made sure I did not want my name in that scenario at all. I've never appreciated preachers that want their name up there, you know, above God's. I'd rather have God's name up there above us. Amen? How's that sound? Where faith actually is active and God begins to do something. You see, faith proclaims the power of and in the Word of God. When you proclaim that faith, the power of God begins to move and the Word of God begins to be active in your life. Three things I want to talk to you about today, dealing with Abraham, of course, there in Genesis in chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Wow. If you didn't have faith, I couldn't understand the thing God does. I've said it a lot. I'll say it again. I'm not ashamed to say it. I think God's really illogical, but he gets the job done. When you send a choir before three kingdoms that are strong, violent kingdoms in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and you send a choir against this particular group of kingdoms that were coming to destroy you, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. To me, I would have set up a war zone. I would have set up my best fighters to the left or to the right and to flank and to circle around. I would have got to know the area and found out where the weakest spots would be, and I would have attacked. But God said, send the choir in. You see, we have to believe God. We have to have faith in what God calls us to do. Faith enables us to understand what God does. I want you to think for just a moment, if you will. What has God done in your life to where you think he could have done it better? There could have been more logic to it, maybe something a little bit easier for you to grab a hold of. God could have done it this way, it would have been a lot simpler. Sometimes God takes you down a road that you're uncomfortable in. And you start to pray, oh God, you know, forgive me of my sin, forgive me of this, forgive me of that, forgive me of my attitude, forgive me, God, my thoughts. And, you know, you begin to blame yourself because you're on this road. But God has led you down a road. You say, well, preacher, where do you find that in the Bible? I'll tell you, when you take 2.5 million people and read to them where they're going, and then lead them down a road that they didn't want to go down to a sea that was impassable and mountains on either side, and the person that you just got delivered from chasing after you with his best soldiers, with the hottest chariots in town, going after you, you begin to think, this isn't going to work. We messed up. The leadership messed up. Somebody messed up here. Get us out of this now. You see, God takes us down roads that'll build our faith. It'll take us to a place to where we have to firmly believe in faith. When Kathy and I went to Santa Cruz after being in ministry for nearly 25 years of full-time pastoral ministry, going into a mission work for the first time, we had faith that we were going to just blow it out of the water the first service. We were excited about it. When we went down to the Crossroads Church of God there in Watsonville, my home church in the Church of God, by the way. At that time, it was the Watsonville Church of God. And all these people promised to show up to our first service down there, even though we were going to be birthing in Santa Cruz. We used the Watsonville Church, which is 16 miles south, to be able to go and have our first meeting there. And no one showed up. We were taken down a road 16 miles down US 1. Getting off at the exit and getting over to that church. And we were taken to a road. All of a sudden, it was a matter of, are we in failure? Are we in success? And instead of saying we are in failure, we knelt and prayed for 45 minutes. And God brought us success. You see, sometimes it doesn't look good. And I want you to understand, I know I'm speaking to you today, that there are sometimes things don't look good, but God took you there to make it good. God brought you to a place to where you will become who God has destined you to be, who God has purposed you to be. Now, let's look at Abraham here. Here's a guy, tremendous man. He's had visions of the Lord. He has spoken to angels of the Lord face to face. He's married a wonderful wife, Sarah. They don't have any children. They need children, okay, but through her. Things weren't happening, and all of a sudden, the Lord shows up and says, things are going to happen. 25 years later, what God spoke to them begins to happen. They have this baby. Isaac is born. Then God, when Isaac's just a young boy around 12 years old, some say a little earlier, some say a little later, so let's just take it into balance, around 12 years old, God speaks to him in Genesis 22 and tells him to take your son, your only son, up to the mount where I direct you and sacrifice him to me. Now, I know today you're all moderned up and everything, and that's just like a movie. That had to come out of Hollywood or something like that. You know, that would be something that would sell good, you know. But he was sitting there, and he didn't question it. He simply got it together. He had already seen what God could do. And I'm not speaking to deaf ears today. I know that there are people in this room that already know what God can do. But still, because of our frailties of humanity, because of our lack of the word in our life and the lack of prayer, oftentimes when God brings us to a new level of faith that he wants us to do, we begin to question it. This couldn't be God at all. Number one, this couldn't be God at all because I'm too much with God. God knows me because I pray. God knows me because I fast. God knows me because I read his word. God knows me because I'm special. God knows me. He doesn't know anybody else in the world. He's got me down. We find ourselves then at a place where God is at a distance from us because we've pushed him away and we've lifted ourselves up above him. But Abraham didn't do that. Abraham had him and loved him and knew what he could do and knew that it was impossible for him to give seed to a woman to birth a child, and especially to a woman who could not birth a child. 25 years later after that promise. Now, it was already impossible 25 years earlier. But 25 years later, he brings this child into the world. She does. And now God is saying, kill him. Bring the one thing I gave you, the one promise that I gave you that said out of his loins, there would be blessings as much as the stars in the sky and the sand at the sea. I know everybody that lives in California goes to the beach once in a while. And you get down to that beach and you look up and down those sandy shores. There's a lot of sand. If somebody said, I want you to stay here and count a pound of it, you'd be there for a week. Grain by grain. He's going to bless him that way. Through that boy's loins, through that child. Abraham will be the father, but from this child will come forth all that he has promised. Kill him. It's time for a new level of faith, is what I'm trying to say to you right now. It's time for a new level of faith in your life. It's time for a new level of faith in your walk with God. Don't get stale with God, because God knows how to take stale faith and bring it to fresh faith again. Always trust in the Lord, no matter what. No matter what road he leads you down. I like what Abraham did, and I'm not going to read the whole scriptures to you because it's a fairly recognizable story to most. If you don't know the story, read Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. But he gathers the wood, gets two of his servants, along with the bearers of the wood, the donkeys, and calls his boy over, and his boy gathers up the wood and begins to move forward with him. And they go for a journey, a few days. And finally he sees Mount Moriah over there, and he stops at a distance and he says to his servants, "You all stay right here. Me and the lad are going to go forth under the mountain and sacrifice, but we, quote, unquote, we will return to you." Now, I think a lot of people hear that and they go, "Oh, okay, that's a cool little statement there." But you've got to put yourself, this man has had visitation with God at night. He has seen visions of the Lord. He has been ministered to by the angel of the Lord. He's had a promise given to him. His wife laughed at God, lied to God, and he still brought the promise to pass because God challenged her and said, "Yes, you did laugh." 25 years later, this happens, and then add to that 12 years. There's 37 years now since the promise was given. You're going to have to slay him. Take him there and do it. But this man had so much faith in the master that he served, the God who created him. Let me remind you, if I could, again, that literally God calls things as they are from what they are not. In other words, what isn't there, God calls it as though it is, in paraphrasing. God just says, out of the darkness, there be light. Out of nothing, there is something. What you don't see, it's already there. God is waiting for you to move into it. God already saw that child 25 years. He saw that child at 12. He saw this Mount Moriah experience. He had faith that God knew what he was talking about, but he knew that God had already said something to him that was going to happen. He didn't question it. Are you with me? He took him to there, and the lad asked him, "Where is the lamb? Where is the animal? Where is that which we are going to sacrifice unto God?" Abraham said this secondly: God will supply. Gets there and ties that boy up after the boy helped him build the altar. After the boy helped him put the wood upon the altar, he ties him up, takes a knife out, and was going to open him up to take out the interior part that could not be used in the sacrifice. The promise, he was going to kill, burn unto God. And at the point of attack, still believing but still moving forward. Now you don't get that, do you? Still believing but still moving forward. He hears the voice, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Don't hurt the boy. God has seen that your faith is true." What he was really saying is, God has confirmed your faith. That you would see that the faith that you need to walk with a holy God is A faith that always believes in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what the eye sees like, and no matter what the ear hears, no matter what the mouth speaks, the voice of the Lord has spoken, and this shall come to pass. I want to ask you again, like I've asked you for several weeks, what has God promised you? What has God promised you? You say, preacher, I haven't had it. I don't think it's true. Maybe I had too much pizza that night. Maybe I just was thinking too much of myself that day. Or maybe it was just I was just thinking, well, maybe it was the Lord who said that, but to my neighbor, and I just happened to overhear the conversation. But no, God has spoken it. God has said it to you. Let me take you back. 25 years. You're as good as dead. She's no way can possibly bear a child. 25 years later, there's a child. 12 years later, kill the child. Bring the child to me. But Abraham knew at this point in his life, he's going to have faith enough no matter what's going on. He's going to move forward in the promise of God. You see, the devil, the enemy of our soul, he'll want to take you from really believing what God has for you and take you to a place into believing what the devil wants you to believe. Don't satisfy for less than the promise. Hang on to what God has for you, because what he has said will come to pass. If it doesn't happen in your lifetime, it'll happen in your children's lifetime. But it will come to pass. God is no respecter of persons. He loves everyone equally the same. Certainly Peter, James, and John traveled with him a little bit more. John was this one who laid his head upon Jesus' shoulder. We see that in the pictures of the Last Supper and other things, how they had that rendition going, and people have written books about it and all this stuff. But Jesus loved everybody equally. To prove that, he even went and found a Samaritan woman and brought her into the kingdom of God. When a Jew is not supposed to talk with a Samaritan woman, he goes to sit down at the well while his disciples are out doing what disciples shouldn't be doing. They're out there just doing stuff, probably bragging how they know Jesus. Hey, I know Jesus. Yeah, you can touch my cloak. I know Jesus. I go to the big church down on the corner. Yes, sir. Jesus is my pastor. You know, and he's back there by the well hanging out with somebody he's not supposed to hang out with. Hello, church. Sometimes you need to hang out with some people who don't know Jesus to tell them about Jesus. She runs back and tells the whole town about Jesus. The whole town gets saved. She's the first evangelist in the Bible. Praise God. She's a woman. Praise God. And now in today's 21st century, you have people saying women can't be ordained. Women can't do this. Women can't do that. Women shouldn't be able to talk here. Women shouldn't be able to do that. You need to hang out with the king that wrote the book. Yes. Yes. That's right. He did what he said he was going to do through her, who literally accepted what he said, brought a whole village to the kingdom of God, and then his disciples got upset with him for doing that. She's a Samaritan. So what? Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. What's wrong with me? I'm preaching to everybody here that as soon as you came out of the womb, you were saved. How silly of me. I need a room full of sinners to preach this message to. But literally there, and he brings this acknowledgement that God will provide. And right over there, right there, which they didn't notice before, but was always there till their eyes were opened to see it by faith, there the ram was in the thicket. I like the last verse, and I want to read it because it means so much to me. Let me start here. The angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Now listen to this. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. They returned. He said he's coming back. They returned. God pulled it together. He believed, and it worked. I want you to realize this, that secondly, faith enables us to see what others cannot see. Faith enables you and I to see what others cannot see. The problem with a lot of people is that they only have enough faith in what they can see. But for you to walk with God and what God wants to do for your life, you have to have faith in what you can see spiritually. Don't wait for affirmation of people around you to say they don't see it. How can it be? Know that you can see it because you have faith in God. You can see things that others cannot see. Do you believe that in your life? Do you believe that what God has said for you to do? I tell you, I don't know what people think about today, that you got to have a doctorate to do this, or you got to be this culture to do that. You got to live in this neighborhood to do this. You got to have this last name to do that. God doesn't think like that. I know a lot of people that have doctorates that have no common sense. They may be highly educated with a doctorate from a great school and a great academy or a great university, a great seminary, whatever you want to say, they have no common sense. I know people that have very little education that have more common sense than the doctorate. It's not about that. It's who God chooses. And I'll tell you, if I were you, I'd listen to what God is speaking to your life to do, or he may get a mule to talk to you. And maybe I'm that mule right now. Listen to what God has to say to your life and become who God wants you to be. And then thirdly, faith enables us to, as a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Wow. Others cannot do it because they don't have the faith to do it. They don't have the belief system to do it. They don't believe that this can really happen. But it can. It will. I love the story of the little woman with the issue of blood, because she pushed through the crowd and she prayed the whole time, "He will heal me. He will heal me. He will heal me." Not "he can." She knew he could. But she took it to the next level. He will. You know, these folks that say to you, "Can I pray? You need healing?" If God's willing. Friend, God is willing. God is willing. God will heal me. Every once in a while, I get a flare up in my cheek. Every once in a while, out of nowhere, starts to like a bad toothache, and it's not a toothache. It's my brain telling my nerve ending that there's something happening there, and you need to make that thing excited. I grab my right hand, the right arm of faith, the right hand of faith. I put my hand right there on my cheek, and I begin to pray in the name of Jesus, "You will heal me. You will heal me. You will heal me. Thank you. You are healing me because you will do it. And every time that pain goes away. Amen. Someone say amen. Amen. I'm trying to tell you the simplicity of faith is simply believing in a God that can call things out of nothing to become something. Call things that are not as though they are because he is God. And he loves you and I tremendously. People will always laugh at great men of, and women of faith because they don't see it. They make fun of them. This can't possibly be. This, how could this ever come about? Because I'll tell you, there is a lot less great men and women of faith than there should be. And there's a whole lot of people that sit in the pews across America that have no faith at all. They'll put up with what the devil has for them. They take on whatever the devil gives them. They have no hope for their children. They have no hope for their future. They have no hope at all. They're just going day by day. Well, bless God, the day's almost over. Maybe tomorrow will be better. No, bless God, today I'm still breathing. It's a great day. It may be a road I don't think I need to be on, but God will lead me and I will know it and I will grow it and I will know that my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. No matter where you're sitting at today, no matter what level of life you're on, no matter what you may think about yourself, start thinking better of yourself. Start thinking it's okay. Start thinking better of yourself because God thinks really good about you. The warfare is going on is it's God thinking really good about you and you're thinking really sad about you. God is saying you're great and you're saying, I'm no good today. Might as well sit in front of the TV and just sit there. I'll never succeed like everybody else. But that's just what my hand in life is. No! If you got a hand that says you're not going to succeed, when the dealer says to you how many cards you want, say, all of these are no good. Give me the cards that I know that are mine.
Right.
In other words, throw those cards back at the enemy of your soul and know that God has given you a life that's full of mercy and love and power and blessings. You're going in, he's blessing you. You're coming out, he's blessing you. Claim Psalm 121. Claim Psalm 91. Claim the end of Psalm 1. Praise God. Claim the Word of God as your food, your meal, your drink. Everything that you are is because of who the Word is in you. Amen. Faith does have a purpose, a very unique purpose. What does purpose mean? What's the actual definition of it? It means a reason for existence, a desired effect, a determination. There's a purpose for your life. It's not just to sit on the pew. It's just not to take, this is the hand that's been given me. It's just not to take that I'm not feeling really well today. It's just not to take that this is just how it is. I might as well sit down. No. Faith says that, you know what? I've got a purpose. I'm determined. There's a reason for its existence in my life. And I believe that God is going to bring it to pass. You know what I always get a kick out of? Is when people are sitting there so sad, so unhappy, that they have to tell their face, look happy real quick because here comes somebody. Then all of a sudden, what God had promised sometime down the road comes to pass, and now they're glad. Now don't get down on yourself. That's human nature. But what I'm trying to tell you is get that human nature into submission to God's nature. Amen. And let God lead you and walk with the Lord. Rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. Pray incessantly. Be thankful for what God is doing in your life. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you by Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Be thankful that there's a King of Kings and the Lord of Glory that stretched out from the east to the west. Amen. And he has separated your sins as far as the east from the west. David prayed it. David wrote it. David said it. It's the truth. He has forgiven you of all your sin. You're saved. Saved from what, preacher? Saved from an eternal damnation. Saved from a hell that has no ending. Saved from sickness and disease. Saved from poverty. Saved from depression. Saved from ungratefulness. Saved into a kingdom that lasts forevermore. Full of God's glory and power and grace and might and blessings. Amen. It belongs to you. Faith declares that God can make something beautiful out of something that is neither beautiful nor ugly. Because it wasn't there in the first place. It doesn't exist. He creates from that. That which does not exist, he creates from that. We want him to create from what exists. He creates from what it doesn't exist. I don't want to pop your bubble, but before you got saved, you didn't exist. Not in the salvation that we're talking about today. God came into your life and said, here, you got a new life. That's what being born again means. You didn't exist. Now you're born again. You're there. You have a new life. You have the same features, but you have a new life. A new smile. You're happy. Saved. God's going home with me today because he came to church with me today. Oh, I don't mean to pop your bubble, but God doesn't live here. This is where we come to congregate and worship him. God doesn't dwell in stucco and wood studs, sheetrock, rugs, hard benches. He doesn't do that. God dwells within you. The only reason that God is here today is because we've worshiped him. The reason he's here today, because of his mercy, he's gathered to come and to receive our praise and worship. The reason he's here is because you brought him to church. Church, know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost, that ye are no longer your own, that ye have been bought with a price? That price was the shed blood of Jesus on Calvary's cross. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And to prove its worth, when he rose from the tomb, praise God, there were others that came forth that day. When he died, there were others that came forth out of the tomb. They were knocking on the doors. Praise God. Let me tell you something. God has called you out of a death into life. He has you in the palm of his hand. Tell the devil, get out the back door, or I'm coming after you right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's the framer of time and space. His word, the rhema, the logos is what we read, the rhema is what we hear. His word, it was the creative fiat. Now the word fiat is not about a car. The word fiat simply means an official order of authorization. He was the creator, the official order of authorization of what we have now. When you drive down the road today or walk down the road today, you're walking on what God created. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He brought it together. He spoke it. It came into being. Faith gives purpose to what God creates for you, and your purpose is created by God. In other words, what God has created out of nothing and made it something has a purpose for you. You say, preacher, I've been through some pretty harsh things. It's because he's creating that purpose in you. He's honing you. He's making you into something that's really, really good. Oh, but this couldn't be true because all the other people, that they're just like, they're doing so good. You know, I think people forget to read the word. Somewhere in the word, they got everybody driving in Beamers. Everybody's like living in a 15 bedroom, 24,000 square foot house and with 17 car garage, and all 17 slots have a car in it, and all the bills are paid, and every time you put on a new pair of those whatever you call those shoes, praise God, they're brand new. You know, I saw someone on TV the other day, and it said that the girl said that she has 100 pairs of $1,200 shoes. And I thought immediately of Rebecca Oliveira. Now, I'm not just being honest here. I'm just throwing that out there, not trying to be comical, but I just thought about her immediately. I said, I bet you if Becky saw that lady, she would be jealous. But I thought she was all happy about her $1,200 cost factor of 100 pairs of shoes she has. And I did the math and I thought, whoa. Her husband said she's got a black card, which means there's a credit card out there. If you don't know it, they call it the black card. That means there's no limit to it. Whoever owns the black card, if you can't get one that easy. When you go ahead and offer it to them, no matter what the cost, it could be millions of dollars, it's covered. He's given her a black card. And I'm thinking, you know, that's how people think it is in ministry and in with God and everything else, that God has given us a black card. Friend, God has given us a life. And I want my life to mirror the way Jesus was, and Paul and Peter and James and John and Mary and all the rest of those that followed after him, that literally were willing to sacrifice and suffer that others may know Jesus Christ as Savior. The food that I want to eat is not that which is full of proteins and vitamins. The food that I want to eat is that the will of God. Amen. Amen. Faith. God's word accomplishes things in our lives and around our lives. God's word opens doors that men cannot open and closes doors that men cannot close. So some of you may think that God has closed the door on you. Man may have closed the door, but God still got it open. You just saw the man close it, but you didn't see God reopen. You didn't hear it shut, you just saw it go and close. If you heard it shut, then God closed it. If you didn't hear it shut, then it's still open. Are you with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Please bear with this now because we're just bringing it to a close right now. God's word brings reason to your existence and also conveys meanings to your dreams and hopes. Do you have a dream today? I have a huge dream. Do you have a hope today? I've got so much hope. Praise God. Hope that things are going to be okay. Dreams of great blessings upon your life. Dreams of great blessings upon this church. Dreams of great revival in the San Francisco Bay Area. Hopes that the might of God will cross this Bay Area and just a wave of revival and salvation and baptism of the Holy Ghost will come upon people and they'll be healed. I have dreams of great meetings all over this Bay Area and down as far as Monterey and San Luis Obispo and all as far as Santa Rosa and up in as far as Redding. It's just outstanding. Outpouring of God's Holy Ghost and power rinsing across the United States. I have hopes, praise God. Amen. God's word causes people to cross the path of your journey that will help you accomplish your dreams. Keep your eye open, friend, for that person or persons that will come across your journey that will help you. God always sends someone by. Praise God. Always. Somebody's thinking right now, my God, that person was the one. They're gone. No. They'll be back. God will never let you down. Peter could have drowned, but he reached in there and pulled him up out of that water. He could have let him drown. He had every right to let him drown. You faithless bum. You walk out here, I keep you up here, and all of a sudden you start thinking about fears, frustration, failures, and you sink. Go ahead and see if you can swim to the boat. I'm not stopping the storm till I get up there. No, he reached down. No, that's how folks would have acted. He reached down, picked him up, carried this big old burly man, put him on the boat, then settled the storm. You see, Jesus never gives up on you. The question is, have you given up on Jesus? He never gives up on you, ever. God's word will create in you what you need in your life. Remember this. Now, these are thoughts that I wrote down. That's why I'm reading them. You are not a spectator in creation. You are the one that perceives it. You're the one that receives it. You perceive what God is creating in you, and you receive what God is. You're not a spectator. How many know spectators? You know, spectators are those armchair Christians. Well, bless God, it should have been this way. If you would have made that decision, you could have had everything by now, bless God. Everything's a bless God. Everything's you should have. They're spectators. What you need to say back is, you know what? I'm on the right path. It may not look good right now because you can't see anything because you're in the bless God mode. I'm in the receiving mode. Praise God. I'm in the praise God mode right now. I'm in the receiving. It's mine. Because God has promised it to me. Let me close with this statement. Faith discloses God's plans and purpose for your life. Praying in faith and believing God in faith opens doors into the miraculous that cannot be described by the unbeliever nor seen by their eyes. The believer lives by faith and is patient in faith, seeking the promises that God has given. Some of you work jobs, some of you are housewives, some of you are husbands, some of you are just starting off in life, some of you are grandmothers. Some of you are people that just want to do something great for God. Don't let the enemy take from you what he once spoke to you. Don't let somebody on the job begin to format you into what they want you to be. God puts you on that job because of who you are in Him. And what you can show the person on the job that doesn't know Him. We're not allowed to talk about Jesus on that. You don't need to talk about Jesus. The greatest sermon ever preached is the one with the least amount of words. So obviously this isn't a great sermon. But do you follow what I'm saying? Do you follow what I'm saying? Live your Christianity by faith. How are you doing today? I'm doing great. What's happening? I heard that things weren't going really well. Praise God, they're going phenomenal now. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Somebody asked me the other day about some people that are going through some struggles. Say, how are you doing? I said, they're doing a whole lot better than what they were doing. They have not made it there yet, but they're on the road there. That's a whole lot better than saying, oh, can I cry on your shoulder? No, let me tell you how good it is. Grandmas, keep praying for your grandchildren. Don't give up. Dads, keep working, keep seeking, keep doing what you can. Man up. Be a person you should be. Lead that family into the goodness and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. Wherever you stand, no matter where you are, remember God is with you at all times. Praise God.